Just the energy we need right now from way back in the early 60s, Peter, Paul, and Mary, If I Had a Hammer, a song written by Pete Seeger. Thought we'd start off with that today. Welcome. I'm Michael Moore. This is Rumble with Michael Moore. I welcome you as listeners to this podcast. Some of you are also listening to it on my Substack, which is my site for my writing. But kind of a historic moment that's approaching here, especially for this podcast of mine. This is episode number 299. And either with this one or the next one, number 300, we are inches, we are close to having our 40 millionth download of Rumble with Michael Moore. So 3+ years of this 40 million downloads. This is just like amazing. Thank you to all of you who have been listeners since the beginning. In that first week, we interviewed the great Daniel Ellsberg to kick things off. And then the next day, we took the train down to D.C. and sat in the balcony, the gallery, for Trump's first impeachment. My co-founder and at that time executive producer of this podcast, Basil Hamden, and my sister, Veronica, sat in the front row of the gallery looking down on the whole thing. And then on the train back that night, late that night, we recorded our next episode of the podcast. So it's been a great experience and being able to talk to all of you like this and to get your feedback. It's been wonderful. Thank you, all of you. As you know, this is a free podcast, just as my Substack is free. There's no paywall. We've got close to 700,000 subscribers already here for my Substack. There's a few thousand that are paid subscribers. And again, thank you to those of you who are. It's much appreciated. So to the 40 million downloaders, to the 700,000 subscribers to Substack, wow. I mean, thank you for all of that. I can't express my gratitude enough. And I think it's done some good. We've had a chance to cover a lot of things, organize a lot of people, help to turn things around in last year's midterm election when everyone, including the Democrats, were predicting that there'd be this red wave, Republicans taking over even more, and we were going to lose the House and the Senate and just disaster. But I did not believe that. As much as I believed that Trump was going to win in 2016, I believed that the Republicans and Trump were not going to have a red wave. And we stopped them. You, me, millions of others. We all did it together. The pundits were in shock. That's okay. They're usually behind the curve. But all of you were ahead of the curve. You knew that the majority of our fellow Americans do not agree with the Republicans. I mean, I have to thank our underwriters here, but let me just quickly do that. And then I want to come back because I want to talk about something I call GOP RIP, the death of the Republican Party. It's either already happened or it's happening right now, but it is over. And I want to explain why. And I want to talk a little bit about a couple other things this week. The incredible hero prosecutor, district attorney in Atlanta, Fonnie Willis. I've got a little present for you to celebrate our upcoming 40 millionth download. And also, it was 2 years ago this week that we started our Substack. And so I've got a little something I'm going to post on the page here. I posted it last January, but I wanted you to have a nice high-res copy of it. So if you wanted to make your own poster or your own gift out of it, you can give it to others. So that we'll do that today. A couple words about Maui. I got a nasty letter from the mother of the governor of Hawaii who did not like what I said last week about the sad state of affairs that allowed this to happen in Maui. And I am going to read her letter to me live right here at the end of the podcast. So stick around with me and also another musical surprise for you at the end. This episode of my podcast is brought to you by BetterHelp. As you know, sometimes in life we find ourselves faced with tough choices, whether it's in our careers or our relationships or whatever. And when that happens, it's easy to feel stuck or alone. For those times when you find yourself at a crossroads, talking to a therapist can help you find your way forward on a path that's right for you. So you can feel confident and maybe even excited. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, check out BetterHelp. It's entirely online and flexible to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched up with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So let therapy be your map, and do that with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/rumble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rumble. So the first Republican Party debate is this week, August 23rd. And I'm just thinking, why? Well, why are they bothering to have a debate? Well, first of all, yeah, as you know by now, Trump is not going to show up. So the candidate who's number one in the polls, his nearest rival of the dozen or so Republicans who are already running, is 20 to 30 points behind him. None of them are going to beat Trump. That's clear. But Trump isn't going to be at the debate. And I don't even know if he'll be on the ballot or the convention next summer or whatever. He may already be in jail by then. Or he'll be so busy fending off all of the trials, all the things he's been indicted for, arrested for, fingerprinted for. And this week, I think they're going to mugshot him for the first time. But why are they having this debate? The Republicans are over. And now everybody says, oh, Trump killed the party. Oh, the Republican Party. Oh, you know, we need a two-party system. Well, that's sort of true. We need 3, 4, 5 parties if you really wanted to have enough political parties that represented the broad spectrum of public opinion in this country. Even 2 isn't enough. But there is no Republican Party. They got slaughtered in the last election. Biden won by 7 million votes. Then I think there were another 2 or 3 million that voted for third party. So it's really, when you hear that, when Biden won by 7 million, that's true. But there were really 10 million, roughly 10 million people that voted against Trump, that did not want Trump. So huge landslide against him, only waiting to be repeated next November. They are so over, and they're so past where the majority, vast majority of Americans disagree with everything the Republicans are saying. How could they be this out of touch? And yet they cling to, there is no climate disaster going on. They still say this, that it's all fake. The vast majority of Americans believe that we are in the middle of an environmental calamity, collapse on so many levels, not just climate. It boggles the mind. Just out of their own self-preservation, you'd think that the Republicans would change. But no. Oh, no. Oh, no. They believe everybody should be able to buy as many guns as they want. They can fire as many bullets as they want. Everything that, seriously, that they believe in, they're still anti-abortion? Are you serious? Over 60% of the country, and in some polls, 70% of the country support abortion, are upset that Roe v. Wade was canceled by the United States Supreme Court. I mean, you just go down the list. Americans do not like Republicans. Now, why did Trump get so many votes? Well, because the first time, I mean, the people are voting against the Democrat they don't like. They voted against Hillary, even though she won. More Americans voted for her than Trump, 3 million more. And another 7 million in that election, 2016, voted for third party. I think it was 5 million. But it was like another 10 million people did want Trump then. They didn't want him in 2020. It's not that he's got that many followers. I mean, he has a lot. Don't get me wrong. But most of the people voting for him are doing it because they're frightened. They're frightened of the other. People of color. Women taking over. That's what they're frightened of. They see the demographic changes that are taking place. Now, women are already the majority gender. Over 51% of the country are women and girls. But they don't hold the power yet. Well, that's coming. But at least, you know, men are a little, well, okay, women only hold 29% of the seats in Congress and in the Senate. So that's what we call gender apartheid, where the majority of a group, in this case, women are the majority gender, hold a minority of the power. That will change. That will change. It won't take that long. It will change. Men, the men who don't like that idea of it changing. I mean, and it's not just political power. I mean, this corporate power, what is it? It's something like, what, 11% of the CEOs of the Fortune 500 are women. 11%. Women, 51%+ of the population, 11% of the CEOs. Okay, so all that has to change. So, but for a while, men will get to hold on to power that they don't deserve to have because they are, we are, the minority gender. And they know the racial demographic. We shall not be replaced. Well, I'm sorry, guys, white guys. It's not that you're going to be replaced. I mean, you can join in. We can all work together as Americans. Stop the hate. Stop the supremacy. Stop the misogyny and the bigotry. We can do all that. And we can do it together. And you don't have to be replaced. You can join in with your 48, 49% of the voting power. What's the latest prediction? Either sometime in the late 2030s or early 2040s, the majority of Americans will be people of color, not white. We will become a not white majority country here in anywhere from probably 15 to 20 years. And of course, these angry, frightened white men know this. And I was trying, what can I do to calm them down? There's no way you can stop it. It's just happening now. It's been happening. We already have, I don't know, what do we have? Half a dozen states that are already not white. The obvious ones, New Mexico. I mean, it's part of the answer is in the name of the state. It's not majority white. Hawaii, of course, not majority white. Whites are the minority in Hawaii. California, I think just in the last year or two, is no longer white majority. And here's my favorite. Texas is no longer a white state. Texas. Texas is not majority white. It is majority people of color. 57% of Texas. 57% of Texas are Hispanic, Black, Asian, Native American, a mix of all the above, and a mix with white people who have married and had children with people of color. That's Texas now. When you think Texas, it's not Davy Crockett and the Alamo. It's 57% people who are not white people, what we call white people. And that is just driving everybody crazy who doesn't like the idea of living in a country where white people aren't running it. So, yes, all of that remains true, but the Republican Party, DOA, GOP, RIP. And now people, Trump killed the party. No, Trump didn't kill the party. I mean, Trump was a useful tool for all of our friends, neighbors, family members, people that we know, people that voted for Trump. They killed the party. All the people who deny that there's not an environmental problem right now, that want more guns, that believe that the government should control women's reproductive organs, All of that, that's what killed the party. The people killed the party. The minority of people in this country who believe in all these wackadoodle things and who are frightened by women, people of color, liberals, drag queen story hour, all of that that they're so focused on, they have killed themselves. They did it. And they haven't been brave enough, if they don't like Trump, to stop him, to not vote for him, to be rid of him and try to go with somebody else. No, they don't want to do that. Yeah, I know. Trump, 74 million voted for Trump in the last election, even though Biden won it in a landslide. That's a lot of people. But I'm telling you, the majority of them are just full of hate and misogyny and bigotry. And I know that doesn't make anybody feel better, but it's like, what are you going to do? And then you got the crazies. You got at least 20 million of those who voted for Trump that are just batshit crazy. Literally, I'd say, I'm just picking a number here out of my hat, but I'd say 20 million of those people that voted for Trump, if he told them to jump off a cliff, they would. They'll do anything they tell him to do. They'll believe any, quote, fact that he gives them as truth. Now, there's nothing we're going to do. We've always had crazy people in this country. We've had to learn to live with it. I mean, you know, if you were born here and you chose to stay here, you know, I mean, you can leave, I guess, anytime you want, but we don't leave. We say we can handle it. 20 million crazies. You know, it makes us special. Yeah, we got 20 million crazy people in this country. That makes us special. I know. And it's also scary. It is scary. So we have our work to do. We know that. And can they win next year? Of course they can win, especially if we don't show up, especially if Biden doesn't continue to fulfill his campaign promises, where if too many people a year from now say, yeah, I liked him at first. He did that thing and that thing. But, you know, now he's like, why are we doing this? Or why are we, what's, you know, it's just the usual. You know, we all have our complaints and our criticisms of the, even the people, especially the people that we voted for. You have to stay on top of them. You can't just vote for them and then just ignore what they're doing. So that's why, you know, we'll be critical here of Biden and Democrats all over the place. And often they're the problem themselves. So I was just thinking the other day how, remember back when the Democrats, they were so afraid of the NRA that they removed from the party platform the need to pass more gun control laws. You know, they got the assault weapon ban. The Dems got it passed in 1994. But it was only a 10-year ban. And when 2004 rolled around and W was in the White House, they were too afraid to take it on and to renew it. And it didn't get renewed. And now we see all these AR-15s and assault weapons and what they're doing. And then, well, you know, Democrats, cowards at the time, backed away from it. Not so much now. Nobody's afraid to criticize the NRA. That's changed. Again, more changes, more proof that the majority is with us. And Trump, he still has to make it to the jail. As I'm recording this, he hasn't gone to the jail yet. They're in downtown Atlanta on Rice Street. They're going to book him there. They're not going to book him in the courthouse. They're going to make him go to the jail, be fingerprinted. The sheriff's already said he's not getting any special treatment. We're going to take a mugshot. Now, of course, Trump wants that mugshot because that will be a huge fundraising letter. We'll use it for our own satirical purposes. But yes, that is going to happen this week. A former president of the United States is going to be fingerprinted, mugshotted. Can you say that? Is that a word? Mugshotted? Hell, it is now. And it's just one more example that there is, it's like a zombie party, right? It's dead, but it's still alive, the Republicans. They have lost every single presidential election in the popular vote. In other words, the majority of Americans have voted for the Democrat for president in 7 of the last 8 elections, presidential elections. 7 of the last 8. That goes back to 1988. So the people of America have only voted for a Republican, the White House. And that was Bush in the second election in 04. And even that, I know there's disputes about those numbers too. In Ohio, he won by with one state, Ohio. That's it. One time since 1988 have the American people said, yeah, let a Republican in the White House. Once. The popular vote, every other election since 35 years ago, the Americans have said over and over and over again, no Republican in the Oval Office, please. Must be a Democrat. Jeez. You'd think the Republicans would get the message. They haven't just become a dead party. This has been a progressively dead party since 1988. The American people don't want them. They're gonna get their butts handed to them in next year's election, assuming everybody listening to this does their job. But it's so over. And hopefully out of this will grow a more multi-party system that represents, again, the broad spectrum of political thought in this country. But I don't know. This is where we play some funeral music for the GOP. No, not yet. So you want to hold a mirror up to its nose, the Republican nose, to make sure it's not breathing. I see. Okay. All right. Let's just say sometime in the next year, that, and certainly by next year's election, it will be, we'll have an official death certificate. How about that? Okay. We'll take care of that on a future episode. But let me just say this one more time. Hero of the week, hero of the year, Fonnie Willis, the DA of Fulton County, Georgia, where Atlanta is. Wow. I'm going to post it again here on the page, her 98-page indictment of Trump and his 18 co-conspirators. Wow. You have to read this. It's just so stunning and breathtaking. It's so well researched. You know, any punditry that you've heard about how, oh, she's gone overboard, she went too far, you know, she's not deferring to Jack Smith, the federal prosecutor. Let his case go first. Haven't we had enough of really of the special prosecutors, the federal prosecutors, the congressional prosecutors? I mean, God bless them. Thank you for the great work you've done. You supplied so much of the foundation of this indictment in Atlanta. Yes. So don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, though, we've waited for this for way too long. And she has hit the grand slam here. And no, should she defer to Jack? No, there's no deferring. Quit telling a black woman she has to defer to a white guy. Okay. Just aren't the optics of that a little weird? Her dad, Fonnie Willis. Her dad was a criminal defense attorney, took all these cases of poor people who couldn't afford a lawyer, public defender stuff. And she, I believe from what I've read, was her primary caretaker, parent, you know, and he raised her, and he'd bring her into the office after school on Saturdays. And started teaching her how to do research when she was a tween. He had her looking up stuff in law books. By the time she was a teenager, she was doing the filings for him. What an incredible dad. So she wasn't even out of high school and she knew how to do this. And then had 20 years of experience doing this. When she got out of law school, she and a couple of friends formed their own like people's law firm there in Atlanta to help the poor, to help those who were unjustly accused. She spent 20 years doing, she knows this inside and out. She's done RICO cases. This is a RICO case, by the way, racketeering mob. This is a mob case that she's trying. She's trying Trump and the co-conspirators as essentially organized crime. Not just essentially, it is organized crime. She's a friggin' genius. And she's, you know, Well, you're not going to try all 19 of them together. Yes, I am. Of course, she knows it probably won't be 19 by the time they actually start, because some of them are going to take a plea agreement. Some of them are going to think on Trump. They're going to flip. But whatever. Yeah, she's like, no, this is my courtroom. And yes, there's a judge, a Republican judge, by the way. But she is going to kick ass here. She already is. Isn't it refreshing? Don't you just want to, like, I don't know, send her a telegram? That'd be like an old-fashioned telegram to thank her. Don't you hope to run into her someday and just go, wow, wow, thank you. Of course, all the media, so I'm talking about the right-wing media. It's not all right-wing. Some of it, some of it's okay. But, I mean, all they want to talk about is how her dad was a Black Panther. You know, her father was a Black Panther. And I'm going, what? Yeah. All right. Wow. Wow. You got to, if you haven't read about the Black Panthers, if you're of a younger generation, you've got to read about them. You've got to, there are some wonderful books, you could, or you can read the writings of Angela Davis and others that will tell you how there was a period of time in the 60s and the 70s where Black Americans stood their ground and said, we're not taking this anymore. And I'm not talking about violence here. I'm talking about they decided that their children were not going to be going to crappy schools. They set up their own schools, or they set up their own after-school tutoring, or they provided free breakfasts for kids long before the federal government got around to doing that. The Black Panthers did it. They tried to create and help create a better neighborhood for these segregated neighborhoods where Black people lived. There's a couple of documentaries I'll recommend. If not today, sometime in the future, because I'm sure they won't stop talking about how her father was a Black Panther. Wow, no wonder he took her into work on Saturday and taught her how to do filings as a 14-year-old. Wow. Yes, wow. This is, you know, history will remember those of you who just decided one day not to take it anymore, and that you were going to participate politically. You were going to organize politically, and you were going to stop the madness. Whether we're talking about civil rights, women's rights, LGBTQ rights, go down the whole list. It always took those few at first to say enough, enough. And Fannie Willis is the latest example of one of these brave, brave souls. That she would risk her life for the rest of us. And that's exactly what she's doing. You know it. I know it. You don't want to think about it. You don't want to talk about it. But that's who she is. And that's what she's doing for us. And if you are a friend of hers, if you work with her, please pass on my gratitude and the gratitude of a grateful nation, because we're sick and tired of all of this. We want an end to it now. And for the first time, I think a lot of us feel like, wow, yes, yes, finally. Fannie Willis. Hey, I mentioned at the beginning that I had a little present I wanted to share with you. I posted this back in January when they seated the new Congress that was elected last year, November of 22, in the midterm elections. And I just could not believe it that they were seating 121 members of the House and the Senate who had voted on the night of January 6th, on the night of the uprising, when they finally went back into session before midnight and then went into the night to certify that Joe Biden was the president of the United States, 121 Republicans voted no, voted to not accept Biden as the president, still tried to overthrow the government after hours of violence, so many Capitol Police hurt, wounded, 5 officers would die either that day or in the days after from their injuries or from their own hand, suicide. And these traitors, and by the way, traitors who were returned to Congress last November by their constituents. So that's what I mean. When you say Trump killed the party, no, 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 your brother-in-law killed the party. I'm sorry. Your uncle. That guy down the street with the, he still has the I hate Hillary sign up in the yard. That's what's killed the party. And they were seated that night of the insurrection. 121 of them in the Senate and the House. I couldn't believe it. So Angie here, my executive producer and editor of this podcast, she put together this poster. So in large red letters, it says traitors. And then we have the mugshots of all 121 Republicans who voted to overthrow the election that night. Cast a vote to not seat Joe Biden as the legally elected president of the United States. Traitors, all across the top, it says, and at the bottom, attempted coup, which is exactly what it was. It says they're under attempted coup on January 6, 2021. They voted to overthrow the U.S. government. November 8, 2022, their neighbors returned them to Congress. At the very top, above the word traitors, I have Section 3 of the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution. And so it's an abbreviated version, so I could fit it on the poster, but I'll just read it to you right now, what it says. This is from the U.S. Constitution, my friends. No person shall be a senator or representative in Congress who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress to support the Constitution, shall have then engaged in insurrection or rebellion or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. They shall not be seated in the Senate or the House of the United States of America. And it goes on to in that section in the for the 14th Amendment. Basically, they can't be elected or run for any office in the country. State legislatures, all of this. It was all banned. Now, they had to do this. They wrote this. It was ratified in 1868 because the South was starting to send back all the Confederates to the Congress. And they were like, no, are you kidding? We just fought a war. We lost 600,000 people. The war cost, what, like, I don't know, $5 billion? And now you're going to, the same people that did this, tried to overthrow the United States, are going to be back. No, they're not coming back in here. No. If you do that one act, and it's really the only act where you can be prevented from taking a seat in Congress, it's if you tried to overthrow the Congress, if you tried to overthrow the United States government, what are you doing back here? And so all the Confederates who were sent back by the white people in the South were all booted. That is still in the Constitution. That's what it says. If you gave any aid or comfort to anybody who is trying to commit an insurrection against the United States government, you are not going to sit in our Senate or our House or any of the other state offices. You're out. So anyways, so I wrote this up last January, put it on this poster. And this past week or two, these two well-known lawyers who are actually affiliated with the Federalist Society, so these are very conservative lawyers, they wrote up this big-ass paper report on why Trump cannot run this year for president of the United States. They didn't go as far as I went, that all 121 of these actually should be unseated. But that is the case. That is exactly what we should be doing. So I've been pushing for this for the better part of a year now. And now finally I've got two lawyers who are Federalist Society friends who agree. And now that story, you've probably seen, it's been picked up by, news agencies, of course, MSNBC, CNN has done it, stories on it, The Times. So it's all over the place now that there is a legal justification, and liberal progressive lawyers have joined with them so that there's unity on this, that the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution prohibits Donald Trump from running for office. So I thought to celebrate the second anniversary of my Substack column and also our 40 millionth download, which should be happening any day now for my podcast, that I would put this up on our site and you could download it. You could make your own poster out of it, or you can just share it. You can send it around. You know, I'm putting up the highest resolution I have of it right now. Just please accept this as a small token of my appreciation for what you've done, and also something that we still need to push. We need to get behind the fact that we have 121 traitors sitting in Congress. These are the people who voted on the night of January 6th and the early morning of January 7th to not seat Joe Biden in the White House, to overturn the election, to overthrow the government. They are sitting right now in our Congress, and they should be removed. And Trump should not be on any ballot. You're going to hear more about this. This is everybody's picking up on this now. But for those of you who have been part of this podcast, you remember we did a whole episode on this. And if you read my Substack, you got the poster then. Print out a big copy of it. If you don't have some kind of, copying machine to do that, take it down to Staples or, whatever place in town can do larger things that you can hang on the wall. Send it to people. Let's keep this going. We started this here, some 9 months ago, and we shouldn't stop. These lawyers are correct. I'll get the link to their report on the page here. You can read it. We're doing the right thing by not letting go of this. See, if we don't stand up, if we don't fight, if we don't fight back, we're doomed. We can't be like the Democrats of old, wimpy, giving in, afraid of the NRA, all that stuff. That's what got us where we're at. No guts. That's not going to happen anymore. Supreme Court, you take away the rights of the majority gender like that, like you did last year. That's why there have been, eight elections now? Seven or eight different times in the last year where the people of these seven states or so have voted in favor of women's reproductive rights, voted against the crazy born-agains and the others who believe that a fertilized egg is a human being. Do you really, you know that, right? I mean, I mentioned this last week when Ohio voted to not let them in November on the ballot stop them from 59% in the latest poll of Ohioans want to put legal abortion in the state constitution. It's already on the ballot for November. So there was an election a couple weeks ago to try to make it so that in order to pass it, it had to have 60% of the vote. And they're hoping, because they've gotten away with it with a filibuster in the Senate, that enough Americans are stupid enough to think that a majority of anything is 60%. The definition of majority is 50% plus one. If it's a vote, plus one vote. 50% plus one makes whatever the majority. And we've been with a stupid Senate filibuster thing where we can't get things passed unless we have 60 votes. And now they're trying to do it with that. And boy, I'll tell you, if Trump had won, they'd be trying to do it with the presidential election, changing the Electoral College. So it has to have 60% now. Too late. RIP, GOP. We have to stand and fight this stuff or we will lose. We will lose. So enjoy the poster. Share it. Thank you again for supporting this podcast, for listening to it, for subscribing to my Substack. It means a lot to me. So before we close here, Maui, oh my God, you can't watch it, can you, the news? You just start crying. Still 1,000 people missing. Many, many of them are dead. Can't find the bodies. They're ash or they're skeletons. They're just skeletons. There's no fingerprints. There's no way to identify. I mean, they can't identify the bodies. Oh God. It's well, listen, there are, I want to encourage you to provide whatever help you can. There are good organizations. You know, we've checked them out to make sure. I'll have a link here on the page to help for Maui. It's the Hawaiian Alliance for Progressive Action, HAPA. I've got the link here, and on their page, they've got all this, all the good groups that are making sure whatever you give is going to get directly to the people and the help they need. And they're going to ask you to sign a petition too, because people of Maui are very afraid now that the land speculators, the vultures, are going to swoop in to grab up all this property. They're going to offer people a lot of money for it because this is prime real estate. Housing costs in Hawaii are number one in the country. And they just want to build more rich houses for more rich people. And the people of Maui are trying to stop this. Otherwise, they're all going to remain homeless. So we have to join them in this. We have to fight them in this. All this has to be investigated. This never should have happened. The head of the emergency, they admitted he purposely didn't hit the button to sound the alarms, the outdoor alarms, the sirens. He thought that people would think it's a tsunami and they would run to the hills where the fire was coming down from. Yeah, that's what people do. You know, whenever I see large swaths of flames, hey, let's go for it. What the hell? Where was the fire chief that day? Say it wasn't there. What was going on? What was going on? Those first press conferences from the governor and the other elected officials, everybody trying to cover their ass. Oh, man. It is disgusting. I hope everybody who failed the people is held accountable for this. I don't care if they are Democrats. This is so tragic and so wrong. My buddy Rod, he is a lifelong friend. He's helped produce a number of my films. We've known each other since I was a teenager. He sent me a note like the day after the big tragedy over a week ago now. And, you know, his brother lived on Maui for a number of years. And I just want to read you this text he sent me. This is like basic common sense stuff. I'm sure a lot of you have thought this. You know, like why isn't there an armada from the States, from the Continental 48, already there. Already there. In Hawaii, in Maui, helping. Instead, what do we see? We see people taking their little speedboats from other Hawaiian islands, carrying boxes of water to the people of Maui. Why are individuals having to do this? It's just, anyway, so Rod, he writes me, he says, regarding the Maui fires, maybe, I don't know, am I missing something? But is not Pearl Harbor about a 10-minute helicopter ride from Maui? Pearl Harbor, he says, one of our biggest Navy and air bases, hundreds of medevac helicopters, troop ships, aircraft carriers, Marines with mobile pop-up hospitals, field kitchens, etc., etc., etc. And he says, and I'm sitting here on watching on TV citizens from the other islands wading ashore from outboard motorboats carrying cases of drinking water and bags of food. Yeah, right? Did some of you think this too? What's the wait? What's the holdup? 10 minutes by air? I don't know if that's right. I've only been to Maui once, but it's madness. I'm so sorry the people in Maui and Hawaii and everything is just going through this. Rod also, he also writes, and how about burying the power lines, like once and for all, everywhere, to prevent fires and outages? He says, my power goes out at least once a year. He's in Michigan, often for several days. Currently, the electricity that's delivered to my house is via what I think is a telegraph pole that could have been installed there before the Civil War. 3 years ago, he says, on a no wind, nice, bright summer day, the transmission wire that passes over my yard broke and fell into my backyard and began sparking a fire. That's not a good day. Well, hopefully a lot of this infrastructure stuff, a lot is happening. Again, thanks to those Democrats in Congress and Biden. Hopefully more of it will be taken care of. Do what you can to contact the Hawaiian Alliance for Progressive Action. It's on my page here. So I just got to, before we close, I got a letter after last week's podcast about Maui and the complete failure of the political apparatus there. From the emergency manager guy to the fire chief to everything, right up to the governor's office. The governor is Josh Green. Seems like a decent guy. He's a medical doctor. Seems like he's done good things in his life. But this is a friggin' disaster and an embarrassment and a tragedy of proportions. You have a hard time trying to think of what this would match in our history in terms of the loss of life, in terms of the homelessness. I mean, just you look at those pictures of Maui. Large sections gone. I mean, gone. Anyway, so I was and remain very critical of what has happened there. And I hope they do go after the so-called utility, public utility, the profit-making corporation that delivers electricity throughout the islands. Anyways, so the day after the podcast, actually though, just hours after I posted this last week, I received an email. You know, you can write me. I read all my email, mike@michaelmoore.com. Literally, I take an hour every day. I want to know what you're thinking. I want to know what you're, you know, what you're saying, and it's important to have that connection with all of you. So, subject heading on this particular email that morning, So this is 9:28 Eastern time in the morning there of when I posted the podcast at 8 a.m., right? I think it was 8. And an hour and a half later, so what is it in Hawaii? What are you, 5 or 6 hours behind us? So this is like 3:30 or 4:30 in the morning in Hawaii. This person is sending me this letter. Subject heading, Hawaii. And this is the brief letter that she sent me. I'll read it to you directly. Your reporting on the Maui disaster is so wrong and useless. I am deleting your reporting forever. Signed, Natasha Green, Governor's mother. She writes under her name, Governor's mother. Okay. I'm like, what? Have I ever got any hate mail from the mother of a governor? This, I think, is a first for me. And you know, my first thought was, well, God bless her. You know, she's sticking up for her son. Probably feels awful for him. I'm sure she feels awful about the devastation and the death and all that. She doesn't say that here, but I'm just going to make that assumption. I'm sure she's a good person. And she's deleting my reporting forever. Wow, that's heavy. That's a lot. Like, not just my movies, not just my Substack, not just the podcast. She's deleting all my reporting forever. And that, not just for tomorrow or next month or year. Forever. I thought about writing her back. I haven't written her back yet. Then I thought, oh, I should get her number and call her. Kind of make sure she knows it's nothing personal. But then I started thinking, I mean, I understand a mother, you know, wanting to defend her children. There's just a bit too much defensiveness in this email to me. Like, okay, yeah, I get you're upset, but I hope you're more upset at the tragedy, not me. And maybe, I don't know, maybe it feels bad. Maybe she's watched every one of my movies and now me, I've publicly said this about her son and the other politicians there. So I don't know. If you're still listening, if you have not canceled me yet, Natasha, just know that it's not personal. I want the same things you want. I want the same things your son wants. Mistakes have happened here, and we all have to be accountable for them, as we all have to be throughout our entire lives. And we all have made them, including me. So I'm not up on some high horse here. And we also don't need to have a big debate about this now. We don't need to have the investigation right now. We need to help the people right now. That is job one. Don't make this a political thing. Don't make this just, we have to house people. We have to reclaim their land for them. It's their land. It's not going to go to developers. I know, how can you say that, Mike? Capitalism says that, yes, people have a right to get whatever dollar amount they want for their property, and if developers want to develop it, they have a right to do that. Well, not in my world. Don't ever vote for me, because developers are, we need developers. We need people to build houses and buildings and things like that. I'm not saying that, but they have to be restricted, and they have to, there has to be a whip in our hands to make sure they obey and do the right thing. And clearly we're going to learn so much more about all the bad decisions that were made in terms of the ecology and bad environmental management in that beautiful, beautiful state. More to come on all that. But Natasha Green, please don't hate on me here. You know, actually, you're in a better position than most of us. You should be sitting down with your son. Shut the door. Do what a mother should do. You know what I mean. No violence. Just, son, you fucked up. Now, what are you going to do to fix it? Now. People are sleeping on gym floors. Wow. So, don't unsubscribe yet. Let's all hang together. We all have to be in this together right now. We can fight it out later, but I don't think we'll need to fight. I think we all want the same stuff, same things for our fellow Americans and for everybody else on this planet. So, that is my podcast for today. I want to close with a little special surprise that was sent to me from a Mr. Tom Morello, the incredible member of Rage Against the Machine, our greatest living guitarist. Can I say that? Is that possible? Yes, it is. Because he is. He joined in with this heavy metal group in Japan. It's an all-women heavy metal band called Baby Metal. Baby Metal. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're not the K-pop of... Well, they are the K-pop of metal. They call it J-pop over there. It's an interesting mix of metal, what they call J-pop music. Some have even called it death metal. It's unlike anything you've seen. That's what you're hearing right now playing under us. They have a new song out, and Tom is the lead guitarist in this song. So you get a little bit of Rage Against the Machine along with Baby Metal, which is a huge band in Japan and really in many countries around the world. I mean, they've played Wembley. I think they had a big concert at the Forum in LA a couple years ago. They've been around for actually a little over a decade, but they put out an album a few years ago called Metal Resistance. So it's kick-ass rock and roll with these three women. And you've never seen anything like it. The sound, right now you're saying, what is that noise under Mike's voice? It's not going to be everybody's cup of tea right away. Let me just say that. But I'm going to just sign off. I want to thank our executive producer, Angela Vargas. I want to thank all of you for tuning in. I want to thank whoever the 40 millionth download person is going to be this week of this podcast. And to all the people who subscribe. If you don't subscribe to it, please subscribe. It's free. You just go to michaelmoore.com. This has been a rough couple weeks. Rough in many ways, good, bad. Everything from Fulton County, Georgia, to our beloved fellow Americans, Maui. There's a hurricane or tropical storm on its way to San Diego here in a couple hours. It's like, what? It's crazy world. And sometimes, and this is what I love about metal and rap metal, man, it's a way to blow out all the crud in your brain. It's like a big ass leaf blower, except it's not leaves we're blowing out of our heads. It's all the crap we have to put up with. It's all the greed and the hate and the everything. And we are defeating it right and left, and we will continue to do that. I have no doubt. So just turn this up. Just blow it out of your head. Let's get a clear head for the new week here. Let's get rid of the traitors in Congress. Let's stop Trump. Let's save our planet. Let's acknowledge who the majority gender is and show some respect and kindness.
Don't forget to go see Barbie, one of the top three film satires ever made. Dr. Strangelove, Monty Python's Life of Brian, Barbie. I'm serious, folks. You have to go. And you got to see it in a theater with other people. Just a brilliant, brilliant film by Greta Gerwig. I'm going to leave you here with the all-women heavy metal J-pop band from Japan, Baby Metal, and their new song featuring Tom Morello.
This is Michael Moore, and I'll talk to you next week. Be well.